For God's grace cannot be bought. God's deliverance cannot be bought. God's salvation cannot be bought. It's all for free.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Transformed by God's Power. In the earlier part of this message, we heard how Naaman, the Syrian leper, was confused about God's grace available in Israel. First of all, he went to the wrong person, the king, which only caused consternation. No healing there. Then he tried to purchase God's gracious healing. But we heard how the prophet set him straight about that. Finally, we heard how this man almost missed the deliverance of God because of his pride. So this evening, we will hear the rest of this beautiful story of grace as Pastor Grant brings the second part of his message, Transformed by God's Power. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
My friend, I want you to know this morning that there is hope no matter what the sin it is, no matter what leprosy, what the leprosy of sin is that you're suffering with. No matter what it is that seems to have you so chained that it seems like there is no hope. This series is entitled Hope for the Hurting. And I want you to know that today there is help and hope for the hurting, because Jesus Christ can deliver you from whatever bondage it is that you're in. He can deliver you from the bondage of sin, and he can set you free. And it is my hope and my prayer that this morning, just like Naaman, you will come and get God's deliverance and come to experience his transforming power. Listen, to experience God's transforming power, we must beware of the deceitfulness of sin. Oh, my Christian friends, sin is so deceitful. Some of us, because we have come to faith in Jesus, we are playing around with all sorts of stuff. But this morning, it's time for a change. It's time for you to have transformation. It's time for you to get deliverance by God. Listen, number one, we must beware of deceitfulness of sin. But second, we must pursue God's deliverance. We must pursue God's deliverance. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm reading for verse number 2. And the Syrians had gone out in raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy." You see, Samaria was the capital of Israel after the Jewish nation was split in two from the north and the south. The larger of the 10 tribes, that was called Israel, and their capital was in Samaria. And so this little Jewish girl who had been captured, she said, "Listen, there is a prophet of God in Samaria, and he will be able to deliver my master." Verse number 5, then the king of Syria said, Naaman immediately went to the king, and the king said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed, Naaman departed with the king's letter, and he also took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. You know, unlike some people who think we can control our sin, Naaman knew that his leprosy would get worse. So when he heard that there was deliverance available in Israel, he wasted no time. And would to God that everyone listening to this broadcast this morning would have the same urgency to deal with their sin problem and to get God's deliverance. So Naaman set out to go to Israel to get help from the prophet in Samaria. You know, he almost missed getting God's deliverance because of two common mistakes that we often make. Number one, put this in your notes. He almost missed deliverance by trying to buy God's favor. Did you hear what I'm saying? He almost missed deliverance by trying to buy God's favor. Naaman went in search of God's prophet, let me put it in today's language, with 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Oh, you know how much, your little ring, how much you paid for it, and just have a few ounces of gold. He had 150 pounds of gold. I decided to look this up to see what was all this worth. Listen, I don't know what designer outfits they were and how expensive those were, but I just want you to know, in today's dollars, the silver and the gold alone were worth over, guess what, $5 million. That's a lot of money. Naaman was going to give an incredible gift to the prophet. He was trying to buy God's favor. Naaman must have gone back to the future. You remember that movie, Back to the Future? They went back. Well, he must have come forward, because Naaman must have come forward to the future and seen the TV preachers of today. Have you seen some of these guys, these supposedly faith healers? And you know, they have all these commercials and programs, and they tell you they can deliver you. But they said, you know, what they want you to do first, you need to send me, you need to plant a seed of faith in this fertile soil of this ministry. And after you've planted your seed, God is going to multiply and give you what you want. My friend, when you hear that sort of nonsense, run. For God's grace cannot be bought. God's deliverance cannot be bought. God's salvation cannot be bought. It's all for free. The Bible uses the word grace. It's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. We can't buy it. But thank God, God is willing to give us his grace. He's willing to give us his salvation. He's willing to give us his deliverance. And we cannot buy it. Naaman almost made that mistake. He almost lost because of he's trying to buy God's favor. But secondly, put this down. He almost missed deliverance because of his pride. Uh-oh. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8. So it was, chapter 5, verse 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please send Naaman to me, and he shall know there is a prophet in Israel." Naaman went with his horses and his chariot. You can see Naaman pulling up with his Rolls Royce of chariots. He had the most luxurious chariot, and he pulled up with all these horses. He had his whole retinue, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Naaman became furious, the Bible said, and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he is certainly going to come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Then he said, "Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" Naaman was upset. After all, he was an important dignitary. How dare this prophet of God? He didn't even come out. He just sent his servant out to tell me what to do. And to make matters worse, he's telling me I'm to dip in that muddy Jordan River 7 times. He says, "Doesn't he know we have all these incredible rivers here in Syria? Why in the world would I go there? I'm not going to do anything." And the Bible said he stormed off in a rage. You know, sometimes people aren't saved. They don't get God's deliverance because of pride. We want God to do things our way. We have figured out how God ought to do it. Some people say it's impossible for there to be only one way of salvation. My friend, your pride can tell you how things ought to be. But my friend, the only way to be saved is to be saved God's way. Amen. It's God's way. He's not negotiating. God is not going to negotiate with you. God has already decreed the method of salvation. He has already decreed the method of deliverance. And if you want God's salvation and God's deliverance, you had better swallow your pride and submit and humble yourself before God. Naaman almost missed God's deliverance because he was trying to buy God's favor and because of his pride. But right, finally, thank God, write this down. He received deliverance based on his obedience and faith. He was delivered because of his obedience and faith. Verse 13, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it?" You see, that's the problem. One of the biggest problems in our world today is that we're trying to do something to get God's favor. If the method of salvation is based on what we do, there's so many people who would be saved today because we want to do something so that when we get to heaven, we can say what we have done to get there. But salvation is not by works. It's nothing you can do. As I said before, it's all of grace. He said, "Wouldn't you have done it if it was something great?" Oh, much more than when he says to you, "Wash and be clean." It's so simple. My friend, it is so simple. The path of salvation could not be any easier. And my friend, my heart bleeds to know there's some of you listening this morning and you've still not opened your heart to Jesus Christ. And salvation is so simple. It's within every single person's reach. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My friend, it is so simple. God did it all. He sent Jesus Christ into this world as a little baby. God humbled himself and came down because of your sin and mine. And Jesus Christ allowed himself to be nailed to that cross. His blood was shed for you. Jesus died in your place and mine. Jesus was my substitute and your substitute. And hallelujah, this morning, salvation is totally free. All it requires is your faith. All we need to do is to open our hearts to Jesus and tell him, "Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for my sin. And by faith, I receive you." It's that easy. Naaman's servants had to convince him. "Naaman, if God had asked you to do something big, you'd have done it. Why won't you do this simple thing?" And that's the question for you this morning. God is asking you to do something so simple. Would you this morning humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and submit yourself to him and then ask him to save you and to change you? Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. Listen, look at what happened to Naaman. The Bible says that when Naaman obeyed, his flesh became like the flesh of a little child. He received deliverance based on his obedience and faith. He went down, verse number 14, and dipped 7 times in the Jordan. According to the saying of the man of God, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He had gotten more than he had asked for. Can you imagine that? Naaman had gotten more than he had asked for.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, I know there are people, and ladies, if I might pick on you, boy, wouldn't you love something like this? Naaman was just hoping to get rid of his leprosy. He got the flesh of a little child. I tell you, not all the beauty treatments in the world could do this. Naaman got the flesh of a little child. And I'm saying to you, my friend, if you come to Jesus Christ today, he's willing to turn your life around. Sin may have already wreaked havoc in your life. The leprosy of sin might already have destroyed you. But I'm here to tell you, he is able, my God is able to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The same God who restored Lazarus and his skin, Naaman, and his skin became like the skin of a little child, like when he was young. This mighty God, he can restore those years that have been eaten. And by God's grace, he can change you entirely. But this deliverance is based on your obedience and in your faith. And on your faith. Perhaps you've already come to Jesus, and there was a time in your life you can remember praying and asking Jesus to save you. But if right now sin is still controlling your life, I want to remind you of a verse. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend, confessing your sin does not mean just saying to God, God, I've sinned. Confessing your sin means agreeing with God how sinful sin is. I want you to get that. When we confess our sin, we're agreeing with God how disgusting sin is. And as we said this morning, God gave leprosy as an object lesson to help us recognize how disgusting sin is. And my friend, if you're a Christian and you're playing with sin, God wants you this morning to recognize that sin is disgusting. This morning, you need to stop. And you need to come to him and say, God, would you please forgive me? Yes, God, I realize that in your sight, what I'm doing is disgusting. And God, I'm willing to turn. I want to go your way. But before I move on, we're winding down. But before I move on, I want us to look very quickly at Luke's chapter 4, verse 27. It's just one quick thing here that it says about Naaman. Luke 4:27. I believe this is such an important verse. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he said, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, but none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Is that something? There were many lepers in Israel at the time of Naaman, but none of those were saved. Jesus took the time to point this out. None of them was saved except the Syrian. What a pity. They refused to believe they needed God. You know, the Jews were in an apostate situation at that time. They had rebelled against God, and God's chosen people were actually following idols. And here it is. They had deliverance available to them, but they refused to accept God. You know, perhaps right now Satan is telling you that you're okay and the way you are and you don't need to change. I know it's passing through somebody's mind. You don't need to change. You're okay the way you are. Sadly, don't let what happened in the time of Naaman happen to you. All these Jews with leprosy could have been healed, but not one of them came and asked for help. Oh, my prayer is this morning, you won't miss God's transformation, that you will come to God and ask for his help. Ask him to deliver you and to transform you. What have we said so far? To experience God's transforming power, first, we must beware of sin's deceitfulness. But second, we must pursue God's deliverance. And third, write this down. We must determine to live a transformed life. We must determine to live a transformed life. Verse 15 tells us in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman returned to the man of God. He returned to Elisha and came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But Elijah said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but only to the Lord. Naaman was from a culture who believed in many gods. But after his life was transformed by God, he knew that Elisha's God was the only true God. And in verse 17, he asked Elijah for 2 mule loads of earth. What in the world did he want 2 mule loads of earth for? Naaman was now determined, get this, he was now determined to live a transformed life. He was determined that things were going to be different in his life. And he wanted to carry home the 2 mule loads of earth to build an altar to the Lord. You see, in that culture, where the way he was raised, his understanding was that the only way you could worship the God of Israel was to either worship him in Israel or on an altar built with the dirt from Israel. He was wrong, for God can be worshipped wherever we are. But listen, Naaman's actions demonstrated his commitment to a new direction. That is the key. Naaman's actions demonstrated his commitment to a new direction. He had decided to follow Jesus. Or listen, he didn't know about Jesus, but he was decided to follow God. And nothing but nothing was going to deter him. He was putting everything in. Are you all in? Have you made a total commitment to God? You see, when God transforms us, we must commit to walking with him all the way. When God saves us, we must determine to live a transformed life. We must determine that we're going to live for him all the way. For some of you, it's going to mean that you're going to get some help. Because after Jesus saves you today, my friend, the fact that you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict or you have a problem with pornography or whatever else, some of you are in some life binding, life dominating sins, and God is willing to save you. He's going to give you the power to change. But some of you are going to need some help. You're going to have to reach out to others who can help to use God's word to help to unwind some of the grave clothes that are around you. And my friend, it's not just a matter of coming to Jesus. It's a matter of committing to change. It's a matter of committing to live a transformed life. I want to ask you, my friend, as I bring this service to a close, are you willing to make that type of commitment to God today? Oh, not just save me, God, but God, I want to live for you. I'm going to walk with you all the way. I'm sold out. I'm giving 100% to you. I tell you, if you make that type of commitment, things are going to change in your home. God is going to transform you. You're going to find that you're transformed by God's power. A few years ago, we went to the pottery factory on a double date with 2 of our kids. And as I sat at the potter's wheel, you know, they gave me a lump of clay. And as the potter, I was free to make whatever I wanted to make with this lump of clay. Of course, for a moment, I dreamed of, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could make a beautiful masterpiece from this lump of clay. I had that vision. But I didn't have the ability or the skill. But you know, my friend, God wants to make you and me into some incredible masterpieces. No matter what your history, no matter how messed up your life might be right now, there is hope for the hurting heart. God wants to transform your lump of clay into an incredible masterpiece. He wants to make you and me into a vessel fit for the master's use. Before God can transform you or transform me, we must, like that clay, we must be willing to become clay in the potter's hands, totally submitted to him, so that he could mold us and shape us into what he wants to make us. And as I close, I'm going to ask you this morning, will you submit to God? Will you become clay in the potter's hands that he can turn you into his beautiful masterpiece? My friend,
Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.